from the earth will draw men unto me. Let's sing it this morning. Let's lift him up. We'll lift him up. Yes. Still he speaks from eternity. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. Oh, the world is hungry for the living bread. Lift Savior up for them to see. Then men will gladly follow who once taught I'll draw all men unto me. Well, let's lift him up. Yes, let's lift him up. Still he speaks from eternity. And I, oh, you sound good. Unto me. Amen, amen, amen. Our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our worship service this morning. If you are tuning in by way of television, thank you for joining us. We hope we can say something that will touch your heart. If you have a question, a Bible question, something you want to ask, you want us to pray with you, pray for you, we will be more than happy to do that if you call a number on your screen this morning. But those of you that's joining us by live streaming, you're in your home, in your bed, we hope you stay with us for a moment. Don't go to sleep and allow the Lord to speak to you this morning. Some of those who are live streaming our worship service are in the sick bed, in the hospital beds, and they wish they could be here. So we're glad that we can, in some kind of way, bring a good word from the Lord to you this morning. I want to continue a lesson I started last week, a part two of the lesson entitled The Disciples' Relationship with God and Others, with God and Others. Our theme for the year has been making disciples, making a difference. And we know that some of these lessons are somewhat challenging because some of them we assume that you've already decided that you want to be a disciple. And we know, especially at this service, the 8 o'clock service, you don't just accidentally fall into worship at 8 o'clock in the morning. We know you had to have it on your mind, and we appreciate that. We appreciate those of you that plan your schedules so you can get here. Those that are visiting with us, thank you for joining us, and we appreciate you visiting us this morning. Maybe you're seeking the Lord, you're seeking the answers, and you're in the right place this morning. But a disciple is a learner, is a student who is committed to being a pupil of God, a pupil of God's teaching. And God's teaching, it's beautiful. It's the best life we believe that a person can live while they're on this earth. But it does require something of us. And any good teacher, any good coach who believes in their cause require something of the students, and it's no different with the Word of God. And we're trying to be as practical as we can, but after we become a disciple, God still has expectations of us. Quickly, I want to just a quick review. Last week, we pointed out the fact that God desires a relationship with us. God does not need us, but he sure enough wants us. He's God already. He was God before we got here. And so he can exist on his own. But he desires, just like when you have children, you desire children. And Lord, we those of us that have children, we realize that we don't need them. We can do without them, but boy, your life is not as good, as sweet, as enjoyable as when you can give yourself to somebody and see yourself come out and the things that you want them to learn. And God desires a relationship with us. And it is, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, it is God's great mercy that motivates us to want to be his disciple, wants us to be born again. And it is the intention of his will that we be in right relationship with him. That's what God wants from us. And I want to jump into part two of this, because we are talking about relationships. And I know some of you wanted me to get into the human relationships we have with each other last week, but we had to start with the foundation, because if your relationship is not right with God, you don't need to waste a whole lot of time on trying to get right with others. Because if you're not right with God, it'll be a waste of time for you to be all right with others. But listen to 1 Peter. Join me in 1 Peter chapter 3. Read in your hearing a few moments ago. And it's close to the end of Peter's first letter to the disciples, if you will. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. And it says, to sum up, the NIV says, finally. And any scholar, any English professor, English teacher, you know, when you get to a letter and you're in school and you're reading a book, and close to the end of the book, and they said, in summary or in conclusion, if I was in class, I'd ask you, what did the writer mean? What are they about to say in conclusion? In conclusion, to sum up, you highlight all of the important points that you've gone over in your letter, and you just highlight them so the individuals that's reading the letter will understand what they want you to grasp most and not miss. Peter writes, to sum up, in summary, finally, in summation, all of the important points. All of you be harmonious. I'm going to read this text and I'm going to go back through it. Listen to this. Sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. Get this. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Oh, so much in that text. So much about, and I want to focus more on general relationships with all people. In whatever, sir. You can take it in marriage, you're in business, in church, whether you're at work, wherever you're at play, relationships with people, everywhere. And he summarizes. If you went back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, and we hit on this last week, he says, therefore prepare your minds for actions. It starts up here in the head. And notice this. God wants the disciple to get it out your head and in our activities. He says, prepare your mind to command our actions. That's some passages in the Bible we shouldn't miss. And we act like we don't see them, or we act like they don't exist, but they are there and they scream at us. God wants his disciples to act a certain way. And he starts with the mind, and he reiterates the tongue, what we say with our mouths. Yeah. And he says, and we covered some of these last week, and I won't repeat them, to keep sober in spirit. That's not intoxicated. You don't need nothing messing with your mind. And he says he wants us to do is because God has an inheritance prepared for us. He says, reserved in heaven for us. Anybody want to go to heaven? I know I want to go there. I want to go to heaven. I'm realizing now that heaven is not on earth. You know why? It's too many problems on earth. You fix one thing, something else is going to bust right over on the next side. Yeah, yeah. Now, let's go back through this text a little slower. I probably won't finish it. I'm going to stop at my right time. But I've gotten to the point now, you rush through and miss points. So I'll just go till my time is up. Go back to the text, 1 Peter chapter 3, to sum up. And we're going to go through these one by one if we can. Verse 8. To sum up, he's summarizing. All of you be harmonious. I love that. Now, he says, the word be, it means to put in active practice. God is saying to be means to make a part of our character. You know, that's why he says, prepare your minds for action. And would God tell us to do something we can't do? He says, first of all, I'm going to summarize. Great mercy, you've been born again. Now live a certain way. God, he didn't say, I want you to try something. He didn't say, think about doing this. He says, disciples, saints, be, live, do harmonious living. That's what he says in the scripture. Notice this. See, harmonious, to live harmonious. Some of your translations might say to be at one mind, be of one mind. He said harmonious means living in peace and friendship. It means acting together for a common cause. Now, that's what God wants us to be. And see, your character is not something you put on Sundays and you take it off when you get home. Your character is something that we have every single day of our lives. It's with us everywhere we go. Help us, Lord Jesus. Oh, we got some growing to do, don't we? Yeah, I know it. I admit it. I'm studying these texts. I say, Lord, have mercy. Woo, I got some growing to do. And I was thinking, but he gives us some help even in the text. He says, be it. Now go to James chapter 4, verse 1. See, some of our quarrels, some of our demeanor, our characters, listen to what James said. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Conflict, haven't just started. They've been around a long time. Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You take a group, you take a people that can't get along. You know, you take some people who can't get along and they're always fussing. They always, whether it's a group, whether it's a family, whether it's two, they can't get along and they're always arguing. If you go back down to the root of the issues, see, you know what? All of us want something. And many of us are so selfish. If I'm not talking to you, that's good. But see, the root of our problem, of a lot of our conflict, if you look at it, it's because we want something ourselves. And we're not getting it. And because we can't have our way, a lot of time it's no way. Some of you remember a few years ago we had on my mother's side we had the Rand family reunion was on CNN. My mother got big family, and it was called Black in America. They interviewed many people in our family, and one of the writers and those who producers, they kept asking, well, how do y'all pull this off? How do you get this many people together to have a family? And we do it every 2 years. And to this day, I really don't know myself. But I do know this, is that there is a core group in my mother's family. Their sisters, they get along. I'm not saying we're perfect, and you know that's not the truth. But see, in order to, you know why some family reunions don't have family reunions? Excuse me, some families don't have family reunions? You know why. They can't even decide, where are we going to have a family? We're going to have it in Dallas. No, we're not having it in Dallas. It's not going to be in Dallas. Uh-uh, no, I'm not coming. Before you get started, see, the scripture says, be harmonious. And you know, that don't even make sense, because folk, they ain't going to act right. To the saints, to the disciples, be harmonious. See, it starts with a mind. See, some of us, we go into a meeting, I wonder what they're going to say today. I wish they would just say anything. I don't like it. I'm wrong before I go in here. I ain't for it. Your mindset is already conflict. It's already negative. You already looking for something, and many times it's not even that. Listen to what the Word of God said. Now, go back to the text. Go back to the text. Drop down to First Peter chapter 3. Verse number 11. He said, he must turn away from evil and do good. Then he said, he must seek peace and pursue it. Our mindset, we can't control nobody. But the saint, the disciple, has to want to be harmonious. See, and it's not about having our way all the time. The same goes for in a marriage. When you're in a marriage with somebody, to the saints, he says, listen, be harmonious. Have in your mindset that I'm going to work with this man. I'm going to work with this woman. Pursue it. There are other clues in the Bible, like in the book of Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1, the Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Tone it down. Some of us are too animated when we talk. And I know I'm a loud talker. And I have to quiet my voice. But the scripture says a soft, and you, that's the truth, a soft answer. Well, with Dallas, you said let's have a reunion in Dallas. Well, that may be okay. But let's see what everybody else has to say about it. Does that sound better than, I ain't going to Dallas? No, that's a Bible principle. And the same passage says, but grievous words stir up anger. Soft answer? Some of us, if we change that in our demeanor, even today, it would be transforming in our lives. We were just raised like that. I don't care how you was raised. Notice this, God don't care how you were raised, but he tells us to be. In other words, you have the power in you to control your mind and turn it to an activity that the master wants us to do. And he tells us to be harmonious. We go into a meeting, a business meeting, a church meeting, a minister. Some of us, we are too negative. A sister's meeting. I'm going in here, but I know these sisters. I know them. They just cliquish. Look at them. They hanging together. Well, they friends. And sometimes we put things in our mind that are not even there. And it says to the saints, notice this, I don't know if there's credence, it's because this is first in the list, but he puts this first. He says, your mind should be in such a way. Now, we're talking about the saints. Now, notice this. He's not just telling us this just to tell us. God is not telling us this just for us, for him to have his way.
God wants us to reach the whole world. And if we don't learn how to act, we're not going to reach nobody. If we don't know how to compromise, yeah, but yeah, Christian, you don't need, you, some things you can compromise on. What color are we going to color the walls in the building? Let's color them brown. But brown! Notice these harsh words. I hate brown. Oh my goodness, sister, keep it to yourself. We don't have to say everything that's on our mind. We don't have to say everything that's on it. We're just talking about the color of the walls. We're trying to get a color for the walls. And our actions, our mouths. Notice this. He highlights our tongue. Thanksgiving is this week. Praise the Lord. I don't need to eat too much. Don't eat too much this week. Amen. Thanksgiving is a wonderful time, isn't it? Amen. Not for everybody. Not for everybody. Already the pot is already stirring. It says be harmonious. We passed out some cards a couple of weeks ago, and I had this in my notes to talk about it last week. I just didn't get to it. And we asked those that would to take one card, one church business card. On the card, it has our times of services. It has, we're looking for you soon. Is that what it says on the front of us? It's an invitation in front of the card. We said, try to give it to somebody. Your barber, where you go to the cleaners, where you go to the bank. I'm not gonna ask how many did it, because I already know many did it. Many did it because last week somebody said, "Brigger, you didn't ask about the car." I said, "I just didn't get. I had it in my notes, but I just didn't get to it." And they were telling me about some of the wonderful experiences that they had by simply giving a card to someone, because we're disciples and our mission is to make disciples, just to start a conversation. And I know there probably are many more. I want to hear some more of the story, but you know, I just heard this. I used to hear things. You don't know if they're the truth. You don't know if they're the truth. So I don't know if it's the truth, but I'm just going to say it, but don't spread it, okay? I guess I'm spreading it now. But I heard somebody say it. Somebody told me that ain't going to work. Believe somebody said that. What you think about that? Don't talk, don't teach, don't do. Some people are just not going to work together. You know, we have the elders here. We're planning our calendar right now with the ministry leaders, the deacons, teachers. We're planning our church calendar. We do it every year. And big church like this, we can do a whole lot for the Lord, can't we? So much. And God is so wonderful. He blesses us. But you think everybody's going to agree with everything that's on that calendar? And I hope we don't have members. I don't think we have one. I hope we don't have members who look at that calendar. They got all this stuff on this calendar. Who they think we are? How are we going to? I ain't doing that. Look, I see this over there. No, I won't be doing that one. I won't be doing that one. Sure, will we do it that one? Ooh, I don't know why they put out, and then I don't see my picture on here nowhere. Is that harmonious? He says to the Christian, be
be.
Act. Stop. That works. That works in every relationship.
Jesus, when he was on this earth, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. A peacemaker in any situation is a beautiful person. On your job, in your families, a calm, harmonizing spirit. You know what? We don't have to have a reunion in Dallas. We don't have to have it in Dallas. Where you want to have? Well, I want to go to Las Vegas. Well, if we can afford it, we can afford it. Let's see how peacemaker, soft words, mindset. We want this to work. We want it to happen. We want to have positive action. We need folk who are who are seeking peace. I'm seeking alternatives. We're pursuing peace. We are going out our way to have peace. That's what God wants in our families. Everybody fussing and hollering and tearing up the house and screaming, oh, wait a minute, y'all, this not us. Come on, let's pray. Stop it. Peacemaker. Harmonious person. That's what God wants. Yeah. He says to, in the same verse, be sympathetic. Be sympathetic. Sympathetic is the ability to appreciate another's condition, like putting ourselves in the other person's place. Sympathetic, to try as best as we can to feel what another person is feeling. That'll help us understand a person. And you know, you really have to prepare your mind for this one. You have to prepare your mind because, see, most, you know, we look for, me, myself, and I, we look out for ourselves. And our time, we are looking out for ourselves so much, we don't even see the other person. We don't even think, we not thinking. I want to be first in line, first in the bank line, first in the store line. I want to eat first. We taking care of my needs. And God says, be always appreciate what's around you. Amen. Sometimes you can look at a person, if you're not looking, you won't see it. You can look and see when a person is struggling. You can physically see it. You ever seen somebody walking and they just frowning? Ooh, you walking, they walking, and they having a hard time. Amen. And both of you trying to get somewhere. Yeah. What goes on in your mind? You can't help everybody. Help somebody. Amen. Don't just not see when pain, not see what another... turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. I'm not going to have time. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews 4, 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Do we have some weaknesses? Do we have some weaknesses? Everybody, all of us do. I found out? You know, even men who look like they're just strong and muscular, you know, look like they got muscles in their head. They have weaknesses. Everybody in this world has a weakness. It may be a physical weakness. It may be a mental weakness. It may be a spiritual weakness. In the book of Galatians, the Bible says, the strong bear the I want to say raise your hand, because a lot of us, we think we're strong. Who's in there strong? Don't raise your hand. I mean, the strong, see, because the strongest, bro, Gary, I know my Bible. I know I'm faithful. Well, you're the strong. You're strong. Well, the strongest in here ought to be helping the weak. Because if you're weak, you can't hardly help nobody. Amen. And so, let me give you a good sign of spiritual maturity in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. Listen to this. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. Now, I want to say, raise your hand if you're strong now. Oh, my God, I'm eating my meat, I know. Because a weak person would say, oh, I'm going to be eating some meat. He just going to have to suffer. But the spiritually mature, and this is why I say we got some growing to do. Because a lot of us, we have liberties in the New Testament, and we do. But not at the extent of causing anybody to stumble. And so some things I might can do, but I just don't do. Because I don't want to make somebody stumble. Okay, is it a sin to drink? Show me in the Bible. Because I know Jesus turned that water to wine. That was some good wine. It had to be, if Jesus made it. Well, so don't even preach. Don't even say, okay, it's a sin to drink. I didn't say it was. I'm not saying it is. But if you walked into Papa's restaurant, I don't even have to say it. You already know what I'm thinking. And you saw me, and you saw Brother Gary and Sister KB. She's not here this morning, by the way. She's trying to take care of one of her grandkids. But you saw us drinking, just having a good time. And we were drinking, and all, we were just drinking. What would that do to my influence as a preacher? I know some of you think, nothing for me. Ain't gonna buy me at all. Well, it's not for you. You know who it's for? It's for the person, the people who will see me and say, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, the preacher drinking. And it offends their conscience. It offends their spirituality. So for that reason, I haven't had a drink. Okay, you drank before? I said, for that reason, I haven't had a drink in a long, long time. Because you know what? I don't want to call nobody to stumble. There's some people even in here right now that have learning disabilities. That people who, like now, we're in a digital age right now, and we have the website, and we have social media, and we have a Twitter account, we have Facebook, we have Snapchat. Some of you don't know what Chat Snap is. Snapchat. We are even progressing. We have live streaming. We have email send-outs, and some people in here don't have an email address. Some people don't know how to get on the internet. Some people have never received a text before. Oh, no, but ain't nobody here never. Yes, they. Because you are computer savvy, don't mean everybody is. A church this size, we have to be sympathetic. We send out sometimes what's called a robocall to call the members and remind them we're having one service today. We have teachers meeting with council today. And everybody don't get the call. You know why? Because everybody don't have a phone. Oh, I can't believe it. in the body. So when the elders, when we're preparing things, they need to be sympathetic. They need to put themselves in the other people's place, not in the one who got everything, house, got the house wide with everything, not that person, but the least in here. There are those who have no transportation, who ride the church van, who ride the bus line, who some individuals who walk to church. He says, be, live a sympathetic, have a sympathetic mindset when you're dealing with people, saints and disciples. Individuals who have small children in here, who struggle to come to worship service and get their babies ready and pump milk and make bottles and change in diapers before they come to this building. So when they come in here, they're having a hard time concentrating. Some have a little older children. The children sometimes make a little noise, and some they sit next to us, and you need to get that child out. Yeah, maybe so. But you remember you were a child once. Bad little child, too. People have physical disabilities that have to sit in certain seats and have walkers and wheelchairs. Just because you're doing fine, just because you're walking, just because you work out 3-4 days a week, just because your health is good right now, thank the Lord, praise the Lord. It might not be that way forever. Some of theirs were good at one time. Don't forget who you're sitting next to. Don't forget who's in here. Be, live, do. Act sympathetic. Jesus. Now, that clock don't look like it's moving. It's moving? Okay. Okay, I'm trying to. He says to go back to the text. He says, we're talking about our relationship with other people, others. And I hope you're getting this, that this is talking about every aspect, not just church life, our home life. Some of us have 3 kids, and all of them have different personalities. Some of them catch on, pop, quick. Some of them a little slower. Be careful. Be careful how you're dealing with. I mean, don't we know that? We have to be reminded sometimes. And not number again, you talking about being sympathetic. You sometimes enable, you can't enable. The word of God don't say enable somebody. But you put yourself in the place of another so it helps you to be able to deal with them better. To make concessions if you have to make concessions. You don't just ignore when somebody has a weakness. Amen. You don't just ignore them. Well, she got to get along just like everybody else. It don't work that way. Amen. He says, be brotherly. Notice all of these, how they are in the family together. They tie harmonious, sympathetic. See, the word be brotherly comes from the word Philadelphia. You know, brotherly love. It's a word that especially those of this in fraternities, the brothers, and it's a word that means fraternal. God is saying to us, and you see, some of you that don't know about, some of you that's been, I haven't been in a fraternity when I was in college, but my brother was a diehard, stone, Omega Psi Phi. To the bone. And I watched it. They tried to recruit me to be a Omega Psi, because I watched my brother, I said, no way. I had enough on my plate already when I was in school. But those brothers, I tell you what, them brothers were cut for each other. Oh, my goodness. I told you the story, and I witnessed it. I witnessed one of those boys, they had that back then, like now they have you know, in college now they have, well, hazing, they're trying to cut it out because so many guys abuse it. But I witnessed some hazing before, and they should cut it out. But they had what was called the Omega Wood. Omega Wood was a board handle on it. It was painted in purple and gold. It had little things all on it. It had little holes in the board. And they actually were giving the boys this line. They were giving them lick, pow. I shouldn't tell you where we were. Well, that's been a long time ago. But we were in a place. I'm just sorry. I just have to be me. I'm sorry, y'all. Some of the elders probably, Gary, don't tell them all of that. Well, that's me. But they were, pow! And you know, some of the football players, my roommates, well, we were, what? And they were doing it and tried and told them they better not say nothing. Don't scream, don't holler. And we was over there. He finna say something. But their brothers online, if they couldn't see, they couldn't take no more. One of them could step in there and take the licks. But wait a minute, we have any Omegas in here? Omega. Oh, no, too many of y'all in here. Omega. Hey, I was just going to say Kappas. Now, look here, we're not doing that today now. We don't hit the whole room, room. They be making all that noise in here. And you could step in and take licks for your brother. And so that was what convinced me I don't want to be an Omega. So when the Bible says for us to be brotherly, are we willing? Notice it says, be willing to go through something for your brother or your sister. Notice this. Just for their sake, not for your sake, because whatever you go through is going to cause you some suffering. And you won't still want to be a disciple. But you know what? What it does, though, for the relationship, when you know you have somebody that cares for you like that, that's what family. It makes you want to strengthen the family yourself. For us to know that we have a church that if we're going through something, I notice this, you can't know everybody in the church intimately but there ought to be somebody. There should not be anybody in the Lord's church who feel that I have nobody on my side. Nobody for cut to cut for me. Nobody that can help me. Oh, we got some, we Lord have mercy. I told you, when I was studying this, I said, ooh, my goodness. Ooh, this is awesome, because this puts more onus on the elders, on the evangelists, on the deacons, on all of us, because I surely can't be preaching this if I'm not doing some of this myself. I need to stop, just simply because there's too much left. And I don't think you could take no more of this, because we're talking about relationship. You see, if we were to close the circle a little bit and start talking about what happens in our houses, in that intimate circle. Listen, I say in our houses, with our closest relationships. Because sometimes the easy way is to, yeah, that's good. That's the church you need to be.
Yeah, that's the kind of church I want to be a part of. Well, let's go to your house. Now, God wants us to treat everybody. Notice, he wants us to be this. And we want to go be good. The people that we don't even know their last name. And then we go home. God is good. It's just something to think about. Something to think about. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. It is the absolute best life. No, see, God wants our total commitment. Because, see, and this is what hurts us as saints, as Christians. Because when we try to half obey God, we don't receive the benefits. No, we receive some benefits, but we don't receive the blessings. I have to read this. Because, see, we need some motivation. Listen to this. Listen, go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. For the eyes of the Lord, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. And his ears attend to their prayer. So sometimes we wonder why this stuff ain't going right. See, God knows everything we do. Our prayers, God hears our prayers when we are trying to do his will. He says this. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Verse 14. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Go back to verse number 2. Verse number 10. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue. See, God talking about why we living on earth. And my desire is for my children to do well, for us to be in basic good health, for my family to love the Lord. That's my desire. I want my wife to be happy. I want her to honor me in all things. That's what I want. That's the desire of everybody. Come on, let's get with the program. Let's get with the program. Change your mindset. Man, I am a little bit too. I do, you know, I must admit, I fuss too much. I do. I talk too loud. I most of the time, I'm trying to disagree before I agree. I'm not looking for, sometimes I don't even hear a peaceful way. And I need to work on that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be quieter. I'm going to be slow to speak. I'm going to be quick to hear. You know what? I'm going to change some things. I'm starting with that one. I'm not even going to the other ones yet. But my mindset is I want to work. I want to be harmonious. I'm going to seek peace. I'm going to seek alternative ways to speak peace, to speak life into people, to not be so negative. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you're willing to repent of your sins, you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, God adds you to his family. It's the best family. It really is. It's a beautiful family. You can be added to that family even this day. I got to share some good news, see. On yesterday evening, one of our dear brothers, one of our sisters, mother and dad, Sister Wanda Watson, Brian Thomas, who used to be a member here, who's a member at the Oakwood Church of Christ, Chelsea last name now, their mother and their dad got baptized last night. Mom and dad, and they have to be, both of them have to be over 75, I'm probably maybe even 80,
But they got baptized last night. Well, let's say last night, yesterday evening in a swimming pool because, just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I had to share this. Somebody want to be baptized? Somebody have a prayer request? Come to the Lord as we stand and sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you.